I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sit, boo, sit.
Sure,
I heard.
That's some bad hat,
Eric.
It's a cool
show.
Get any of that?
Not a doctor.
Bye, have a beautiful
from your
love. Fire, non-revalve, fire, non-revalve.
I make it. Good night, everybody.
Hello and welcome to Hunting Seasons, the podcast that dares to binge watch, deep dive and break down a season of television each and every episode. I'm Broderick Gordis.
I'm Damask Leary.
And today we'll be discussing Why the Last Man Season 1. Damask Leary, how are you doing this fine Sunday evening?
I'm great. I've just come back from the beach about 15 minutes before we were meant to go live. So I smell like the sea. I've got beach hair, feeling fabulous and relaxed. How are you, Brod?
You've never looked more West Australian than right this second.
I can't wait just to be a bronze babe. Yeah.
I'm pretty good. I went to see James Bond No Time to Die yesterday in Gold Class, actually.
Ooh, how was it?
Good. Yeah, good. Cool. I really, really liked it. Of the five Daniel Craig Bond films, it is one of the better ones. I'd say right now my preference would be Casino Royale, then Skyfall, and then No Time to Die. But I think there's an argument to be made that you could switch those around a little bit. Like, sometimes I feel Skyfall is better than Casino Royale. And this one as well, I think you could move around a little bit. And then there's Daylight, and then Quantum of Solace and Spectre, which we never have to talk about ever again. But we've got a good trilogy.
I don't think I saw Daylight.
No, Daylight as in there's a massive gap between them. That's
what?
Sometimes you say when you're ranking things, you say something Daylight as in there's so much space that Daylight will get through.
I have never heard that. You're making that up. You're making that up.
Daylight, the James Bond film, Daylight.
I'm not an idiot. You're an idiot. How dare you? I'm cancelling this
stream.
That's
amazing. Have you been
an idiot of myself already. Oh, no.
Have you been a fan of the Daniel Craig Bond films? Are you a fan of Bond at all? I'm not even really sure.
Not really. I mean, my intro to Bond was like GoldenEye, which I loved as a kid, even though it was very... That woman who would squeeze you to death was very scary to me.
Xenia on the top.
Yeah. And then I loved Casino Royale. I was actually really surprised. I'm like, I can get into this type of Bond thing because I just...
Sure.
The love story was amazing and tragic. I like Daniel Craig's Bond, so yeah, I don't mind them now actually, but I hated like all the old ones except for Moonraker.
Sure. I think you would appreciate what this new one, the last one of Daniel Craig's era is doing as well.
Is this the one that was written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge?
Punched up. I wouldn't punched say up. Like okay. The whole thing is written by, but you can definitely feel the Phoebe Waller-Bridge of it all at different times. Yeah. There's scenes you'll go, I reckon that was a Waller-Bridge addition, or that
Bond
she made
turns
this
to the camera
work.
And gives you a little aside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, he's full on flea bagging. He wears the jumpsuit, the famous jumpsuit.
Ooh, hello. He'd look great in that, actually.
Anyway, let's get to our spoiler-free review of Why the Last Man, Season 1.
Let me clue you in.
Season in review.
Based on the acclaimed comic book series of the same name by Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra, Why the Last Man is an American drama television series set in a post-apocalyptic world where a mysterious cataclysmic event simultaneously killed every animal on the planet with a Y chromosome, except for one man, Yorick Brown, and his pet monkey, Ampersand. Developed for TV by Eliza Clark and written and directed exclusively by women, the show stars Diane Lane, Ashley Romans, Olivia Thrilby, Juliana Canfield, Elliot Fletcher, Marin Island, Amber Tamblyn, Diana Bang, Missy Pyle, and Ben Schnetzer. After a decade in development hell, first as a movie, then finally as a TV series, with endlessly changing creators and cast members, the series finally premiered on September 13th, 2021 on FX on Hulu. Why the Last Man Season 1 consists of 10 episodes, each coming in at around 48 minutes and took us approximately 8 hours to watch. In October of 2021, the series was cancelled. However, it appears this was due mostly to COVID-19 budgetary cuts rather than poor viewership. Apparently, that is the narrative out there. And series creator Eliza Clark appears determined to get this show renewed on a different network. No promises or at this stage, obviously. So, Damas, before we get to our spoiler-free review, how familiar were you with Why the Last Man before watching the TV show?
The only thing I knew about it was that you were obsessed with it for years and would tell me to read it. I'm like, yeah, I'll get around to it. Never did. So I knew the details, like the basic plot, just because you had told me about it and that I would probably really like it. But beyond that, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, as you've mentioned, I was trying to get you to watch this forever. Basically, I came across this comic book series when I was in university. There was a push at some point. I think it might have been actually because Joss Whedon was doing The Astonishing X-Men at the time. I started getting into reading comic books. Why was a series I think was still just maybe coming out at the time. And I caught up on the graphic novel collections. And by the time I finished it, I absolutely loved it. Loved it to bits. Fable was the other one. Thank you for reminding me, Ben, was the other comic book series I was really into, which I never finished, actually.
That's another one that's been on my list for a long time to
It's also to. Another one that has been talked about being adapted into movies and TV shows a lot, to the point where I think at one point, I can't remember which network was going to develop it, they passed on it, and then Once Upon a Time, which was a series that had the same conceit, came out. So I never finished Fable, but I did finish Why the Last Man. Loved it. I've been wanting an adaptation for this show, for this comic book series forever. I knew they were making a movie. I actually remember there was a leak of Brian K. Vaughan's script at one stage. And I got to read that script and I wasn't particularly impressed with it. And the thing was, the comic as it works, I don't think was ever should have been a movie. If it was going to be adapted, TV made the most sense. It was much more serialized storytelling. And I think that opportunity to dive deep into the world, into the characters, rather than, I think a movie's always going to focus on Yorick. And I think what makes the story as compelling as it is, or as interesting as it is everything else that's going on around Yorick. So the TV show always made sense. So I've been following it closely as this was sort of in development hell. And then finally it appeared it was actually being done. I didn't believe it for the longest time. And then would you believe it actually happened? And then just as quickly taken away from me.
So this feels like
a cruel trick on my part at this point.
Or a hilarious joke, either way. Yeah.
It depends on your perspective, I guess. With all that in mind, Damask, would you like to give us your spoiler-free review of Why the Last Man Season 1?
I don't see why not. We're here now. I haven't
what
actually
we're here to do.
Yeah.
We have a job to do. Let's go for it.
I actually haven't reread through what I've written, so this should be interesting. All right.
This will be good to the live listeners. Oh, yeah, we are live on Twitch at the moment as well. Thank you for everyone who's having a chat in chat at the moment. If you have any questions or comments along the way, please let us know. You can find us on Twitch at my Twitch channel, OBigStretch, O-H-B-I-G Stretch. When we do these live recordings. So, yes, everyone gets to see the raw version of Damask's review before any edits.
Yeah, doing it raw. All right, let's go. All right, so this is a weird review because if you're like me and didn't want to keep watching after the first few episodes, I don't blame you. I'm not necessarily here to change your mind. I do get it. I got to admit, though, ultimately, I did come around. So there is hope if you're like, oh, maybe I should go back again. I will tell you that by the end, I was like, you know what? I think I'm into this. While I was writing my review, I was just Googling some reviews, other reviews, to get some different perspectives. And I had to laugh when I saw the headline for The Guardian, their review of this show, which is they called it a stale man-baby mess, which made me laugh. And I think watching the first few episodes, it's pretty accurate. That was a lot of my issue with it.
I want to put out there as well, so often reviews for TV shows when they first come out are based off two or three episodes. They're based off like the first few. It's not actually a review of the season.
No.
It is always or almost always based on what they released to the press ahead of time.
Yeah, that's why you need to check out recaps if you want like a
absolutely. And it's always better to check in towards the end of the season. So I know a lot of sites like AV Club and stuff will do episode by episode recaps, and they'll give review scores along the way. And it's always more interesting to get to the end of the season and see where they're at that point. Because if it's fallen apart, you're going to know based on like the D or the C minus they're giving it. And if it's like hovering around the B's or the A's, it's probably doing okay.
Yeah, 100%. All right. So our lead, or who I figured was going to be the lead just on my basic understanding of the comics, I found him to be absolutely intolerable for the majority of this season. I fucking hated him. He is such a like whiny, pathetic loser that at every moment I wished for his death. And in the context of the show, therefore like the damnation of all humanity. So like it's pretty serious when you want that character to die. But I begrudgingly moved forward with the show because of the podcast, and it was a slog. I didn't start to enjoy myself until maybe around episode 7. I was like, oh, there's some elements here that I'm finding enjoyable. And I think maybe around episode 9, I was like, oh my God, am I actually enjoying myself? Which isn't great for a 10 episode season.
Sure.
So the world that the show is taking place in is dire and dark in a lot of ways, but good God, the writers really want you to hate being here. Like they just really don't want you to be having any fun. Every relationship is based on like pure hatred or scheming, or half truths or selfishness. Sure. No one seems willing to be helpful or kind or talk to one another like humans. It's always just blurting shit at one another without really listening. And I was like pulling my hair out. I was like, I fucking hate it here. Get me out. The show also looks pretty dull and like a lot of what we have come to expect from this kind of show. I think much of it looks and feels exactly the same as The Walking Dead did and does. I think if I hadn't watched either of the shows and I was looking at just stills of both shows, there's no way I could tell them apart. They look so similar. And it's things like that that make me go, and even the plot, I was like, this show should have been made 10 years ago. It's not the fault of this show, but I was just like, I feel like
Right. It should have been made 10 years ago when they were first trying to get it made. Yeah.
Yeah. I also tended to lose track of time. Like I kept thinking, you know, how long has the world been like this?
Sure.
You know, at first, you know, I'd be thinking it's only been a few weeks or a few months, but then like we'd be going along and we'd meet groups of people that have like developed rituals and like societal rules that blew my mind. I was like, wait, how long has it been? For much of the run of the season, the only character I was interested in was Kimberly, played by Amber Tamblyn. And she's like Meghan McCain, but worse somehow. I know a lot of us don't think that's possible, but she is. But we got some really interesting layers there, so that was nice. And I wasn't getting
I really like that performance as well.
Yeah, I fucking love Amber Tamblyn. I always have since, like, Joan of Arcadia, like, big fan of her. Yeah, so that was nice to kind of get glimpses of, like, oh, this is an interesting person. Not someone I like, but there's some real, like, depths to mine there, which I was into. Mm-hmm. Now, like I was saying, towards the end of the season, the show does manage to build some camaraderie between a lot of our main players, and that was so needed and appreciated. We also have some big moves made that change the status quo, and that makes the world so much more exciting when you're thinking about moving forward. And because of that, I was honestly sad at the end of the season, knowing that the show probably wouldn't be continuing. You know, it was a wild ride. I started off being like, fuck you. And by the end, I was like, I'm interested in this. So I don't really know what happened. But I think a lot of the things that I was looking for, like, you know, people really connecting and it not being just, oh, all the time, that was starting to happen towards the end. So thank God for that. So yeah, I don't know. Watch it or don't. I don't really feel compelled to convince anyone either way with this show. So that's my review.
I get what you're saying about the dire nature of the feeling of the show. Mm. And it's one of the things I don't think that translated particularly well from the graphic novel, which I've reread the first 10 issues to coincide with our review of the season.
Yeah.
And actually, that's basically the season is basically a re-adaptation or adaptation of those first 10 issues. We basically end at that point in the comic book at the same point that we end season one. And while it's obviously post-apocalyptic in the comic book, there is a bit more of a sense of humor and a sense of fun to it. How how good that sense of humor is. I think is reading it again, I'm realizing maybe when I was in my early 20s, some of the stuff I found funny or relevant, it doesn't hold up completely. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. There's a few things that have
not dated. Many things do, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. And this especially is worth pointing out that this comic book series started in 2002. So it's like 20 years since some of this writing actually took place, let alone by the time I actually finished it. But he definitely had a little bit more sense, like a bit more tongue-in-cheek, a bit more sense of humor to it. So that, I agree, was kind of missing from the show. And one of the characters I was most looking forward to meeting, I wonder if it changed for you, there's a character that we met sort of midway through the season that joined our main storyline, you might say.
Yes.
And I was anticipating that person coming into it because they were probably going to add a little bit more energy into the show. And I think that might have helped as well. I don't know if you agree, but we'll talk about that once we get to spoilers. All right. As I explained earlier, I have been rooting for this show since before it was even announced it was coming. As a fan of the original comic book series, I was always convinced it was ripe for an adaptation to the small screen. The concept is interesting and original. The opportunity to explore themes of gender and identity, huge. The platform for women creatively, both in front of and behind the camera, immense. But a decade of wanting, wishing, hoping, and then finally arriving has left me with complex feelings now that it has arrived and seemingly being taken away from me again. Oh. After finishing watching season one this morning, my overriding feeling right now is kind of a dull fury. Fury that the show is actually mostly good and unfortunately also most likely not going to be returning. It isn't a perfect show, or even an outstanding one, I don't think. But I think its instincts are generally pretty good. I think it's leaning into the right parts of the story, the parts I hoped that they would. It understands what about the concept is worth talking about, the complexities of the situation beyond the obvious ramifications, when all cis men basically are gone from the planet, or mammals with a Y chromosome. It's not the most subtle show in execution, but it understands the deep elements and where the meat is for the most part, I think. Mm-hmm. And generally, I think it's a smart show. It's considered and well formulated. Moment to moment, the escalation is well handled. I really like the way that this show has updated the gender politics since the comic book, which was written, as I said, 20 years ago. There was a line early on said by Diane Lane's character, "We've got plenty of men, none with a Y chromosome." And that alone was just like a huge improvement on what had come before.
Yeah.
I think they also understood that while the scenario is interesting and worth looking into, that there had to be characters and relationship focused first. Doesn't sound like you loved that the entire way through, but there were certainly elements I did. I would like to smack Yorick upside the head a lot of the time, but this is meant to be the case at this point in the story. It's part of his journey, his growth. And although, you know, you may not be interested in watching a man-child grow over the course of a series of TV, I understand that.
Definitely
I think
not.
That is accurate to what they're trying to do with the show and what they're trying to do with the story. So that was fine. And something else the show did as well is it understood that Yorick is not necessarily, in fact, he isn't the most interesting part of this story. And he's not present for long stretches, even entire episodes of this season, which is a really good move. And he's certainly not, like, when you look at the credits, the actor playing Yorick is not the first name on that list. They're not even going to pretend that he's the lead of this show. I personally really was happy with what they did with Agent 355, who is one of the characters from the comics that I think is a real, really stands out. And I thought they did a great job of bringing her and her story to the screen, her as a character, and then added layers that it's been a while since I read the books. I'm not someone who rereads things. Like, as a Harry Potter fan, I've never reread the books really either. So even though I'm a massive fan of Wild Last Man, I haven't reread the comic book series, but I don't remember some of the elements that we got from 355 in the comic, and I liked what I believe was added. I'm happy to be corrected if I'm wrong there. I also really like the character of Jennifer, played by Diane Lane, which is hugely expanded upon from where it was in the comic book. And they've added a lot of detail, a lot of characters, and a lot of storylines I'm looking forward to talking about in spoilers as well. On the weaknesses front, the show can be a little bit sloppy with character beats or plot points at times. Not in awful story-breaking ways, but in execution. Might even be a bit of ambition meeting budgetary issues, I think, along the way, which I can't fault too much. You'd rather aim high and miss than not try and do something interesting or exciting. But I do agree with you. We'll get back to this in a second, actually, that it looks a bit bleak. Possibly the biggest weakness of the show and the story in general, at least in this version of it, is there's a lot of convenience and coincidence. It's mostly in how the story is set up, which is more forgivable than if it's how things are resolved. You never want Deus Ex Machina or something off screen or the hand of fate to decide how things are resolved. But there is a lot in the beginning that makes you go, it's almost uncanny how much of a coincidence there is here. I do wonder why the show failed commercially. If it did at all, the narrative is a little bit different as to why it's not getting a season two. Partly, I think it wasn't particularly well promoted. I didn't see a lot of build up to this, if that makes sense. As someone who has been looking for the show to come out for a very long time. It had a really weak start. I think the apocalyptic, event that happens at the start of the season, it had to be done, obviously, but I think at this point we've just done so many of them that if you can't do it in a particularly fascinating or interesting way, it's just not going to get people off on a strong foot. In fact, I think about things like even The Walking Dead. They stole their opening sort of bit from 28 Days Later, which sort of doesn't show you the zombie apocalypse as it happens. It's after it's happened and this person re-enters the world. I almost kind of wish we'd just done that to some degree and maybe had more flashbacks as this series went on. Mm-hmm. So that didn't help either. I'm sure, you stopped after two episodes. I stopped after two episodes. And that's, again, as someone, three episodes were out at the beginning. I was keen for this show, as keen as anybody out there, and I stepped away from it, thinking I'll come back to it later. I also wonder if it's just competing with too many other end-of-the-world shows in general. The Walking Dead was mentioned in chat by Benjamin. I'm really concerned for The Last of Us, which is another one of these that's coming out. It's a zombie apocalypse show that's coming out next year. It has a built-in fan base because of the video games, but it's not going to look or feel much different from this or The Walking Dead. So I wonder how that show's going to do. I also wonder if timing is an issue. We've just gone through 2 years, basically, of a world-altering pandemic. Do we really want to be watching shows about world-altering events like this that seem dire and where... Yeah, I don't know whether this is the stuff people want to be watching right now. I think there's a reason that even though Squid Game was very popular, it also had a lot of excitement and energy to it. And then something like Ted Lasso, which was exactly the injection of positivity we needed at a time. I'm not sure this was, unfortunately, for why The Last Man, which had been trying to happen forever, was a good time to come out. I think overall, going forward, though, my thoughts are that the hardest part's done. They set up the story, they establish the characters in the world, and they got us to care enough about it. Sounds like you did by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. If the show somehow does return for a second season, I'm really crossing my fingers it does, I think the chances of it getting better are really, really high. In the meantime, my fury burns brightly because chances are we most likely will never, ever get to find out if this will be the case. Damask, how would you score Why the Last Man season one, possibly the only season, out of 5 stars?
I'm going to have to give it a 2.5, right down the middle. I think it has potential and I do want that potential to be realized, but so much of this season is hard to watch, boring and frustrating. So I'm going to give it a 2.5.
I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think I came around on it earlier than you did. I actually think by episode four, I was starting to sort of around. One and two, I think weren't great. But by episode three, stuff was starting to happen because, especially, not to give spoilers, but a few of the characters that I've been waiting to get together and start to have stuff happening, and it probably helps that I have a general sense of where things are going. I am anticipating what is coming next. And so as those steps are being taken to get to those places, I was, just genuinely more interested. And I was also interested, as someone who's a fan of the comics, of what was different about what they were giving me that I didn't get in the comic books, and was enjoying those aspects as well. It definitely wasn't excellent, but it was decent and more than enough times I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, before we dive into spoilers, we'd like to ask everyone who enjoys the show to please review us on Apple Podcasts. Nothing helps the show to grow more than by throwing 5 stars and maybe a couple of nice words our way.
And to sweeten the deal, if we reach 25 written reviews on Apple Podcasts, we will finally review Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 1.
We would also love you to share Hunting Seasons with anyone that is as obsessed with television as Brod and myself, or obviously you if you're listening or watching this. So just tell everyone who you think might enjoy listening.
Next week, we'll be back with our review of Arcane, League of Legends, Season 1. If you'd like to contribute to our discussion of Arcane, or if you have any thoughts on Why the Last Man, you can write to us or send us an audio recording that we may include on a future episode to contact at huntingseasonspodcast.com or find us on Twitter at HuntingSCast. But right now, let's talk spoilers for Why the Last Man, Season 1.
You're now entering the spoiler zone.
Spoiler warning. From here on, we'll be discussing everything that happens in Season 1 of Why the Last Man. Before listening any further, we recommend watching all of Why up to this point. If you've not yet done so, proceed with caution. There are spoilers ahead.
You have been warned.
Deep dive.
It's cool to know other people think about this stuff too.
Where would you like to start, Damask?
I do think there's something I need to address, which I was seeing in like a lot of comments about the show.
Yep.
Like on Twitter and stuff, which is people saying like, I don't understand why the world would fall apart so quickly if all the men died. I'm like, I'm sorry, did you live through the pandemic recently? Yeah. And that was just asking people to wear a fucking mask. If all the men died, if like all the people with a Y chromosome in your life died, do you think you're going to be going to work? Probably not. So it's just like, of course the world fell apart. That was not a reason for me to dislike the show. The premise wasn't enough for me to be like, nah, fuck this.
I think what's interesting, and you can talk about it in more depth if you want to, but just by the very makeup of the way the world is, not the way it should be, but the way that it is that you think about industries where they're male dominated, right? Yeah. And so the obvious ones are things like, they bring this up on the show, I think, they definitely talk about them in the comic book, is like when the event occurred, when all Y chromosome mammals died, the planes basically, 95% of them fell out of the sky just because there were so many more male or men who were pilots than women. I'm just going to use that term for sake of simplicity, unfortunately, but I truly mean Y carrying mammals. Obviously, women can have Y chromosomes and vice versa. Men can have no Y chromosomes as well. And then there's also in politics, vast majority of politicians are men, especially on the Republican side. It's interesting that Democrats sort of end up just by nature of having more of them who are women taking over the government. And then things like, again, this is talked about in the comic I was just reading, like most truck drivers by wide margin, like 90%, 95%. So all of a sudden, like transport of goods and stuff just stops. Like it makes sense why if that happened, the world would really struggle for a time until, you know, people adapt it essentially. Yeah. So I understand why people want to feel that like it's trying to say something negative. I think it's just on a pure
logistical
level that is the truth is the truth of the situation. That was the main thing you want to talk about, just to address that
just at the top, just like because I saw that a lot and I was like, well, that's silly.
So we have sort of three main story threads of this season. We have the Save the Y Chromosome group, which consists of Yorick, 355, and Dr. Allison Mann. We've got our Pentagon group, which is mostly centered around Jennifer, and then Kim, and then eventually Beth. And then we have sort of the Amazon storyline with Hiro and Sam and Roxanne and Nora. Did you have a particular like preference in those three storylines? Was there one sort of thread that you enjoyed more than another?
What a great question. I eventually liked the Yorick and 355. And sorry, what's the scientist's name?
Dr. Mann, Allison.
Allison. I like that when we get to the women's prison community, I was like, oh, finally. Because I remember thinking for so much of the season, I was like, I wish we could just sit still for a moment and have these people connect in a way. And this was the pause the show needed to do that. And it was just like a really supportive community. And I was like, okay, this feels kind of nice, actually. So by the end of the show, I was really kind of, I started to become invested in those three characters. And I was so surprised by, you know, the Yorick revelation I had. But yeah, he's given a chance to show maturity and emotional intelligence, which we had sadly been deprived of previously. So that I really enjoyed that. Like I said, I really enjoyed the Kimberly of the Pentagon stuff. Mm-hmm. I also have a huge crush on Diane Lane and Will until the day I die. She's such a babe.
You'd follow her, oh, captain, my captain, if she was president?
Absolutely, I would. Yep. It's funny when thinking about the Amazon storyline. Sure. I was like, Hiro is the worst friend in the universe. She's so
to
fucking
Sam, yeah.
She's so fucking selfish in regards to Sam. It infuriated me. And it was funny because the leader of the Amazons, when I was watching, because I love, what's her name? Missy Pike or something? What's her name?
Yes. Yeah. Pyle? How long did it take you to figure out we'd just been watching Galaxy Quest? And
like
she was
almost
in that.
Immediately, because my first note was like, this cop can't be real. It feels like a character actress, like in an improv group making fun of SVU. And then to have that actually happen, I was like, thank God, because this performance is so extra. So I was like, good job, show. Like that actually, justified a lot of what I was seeing and confused by for a while. So there are elements that I liked in most of those stories. There were certainly plenty of things that I didn't like. But I do think the Yorick and 355 and Allison towards the end was where my heart really was. Yeah.
Sure. Yes. Let's start with Yorick then, the titular man of the show. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Like, it is always going to be a hurdle for a show that is full of women otherwise. Mm-hmm. We've got this one cis white guy who is like the embodiment of arrested development, of like petulant man baby. And he's the guy who's left to potentially be the savior of the human race, it is obviously intended. It's like there's a reason they didn't make this guy John McClane, right? They didn't make him hot. Like he is, apart from having some skills in like escapee, whatever you call it, like he's an escape artist. He's got nothing else going for him whatsoever. Yeah. He makes dumb choices constantly. He's, you know, helping to train this helper monkey thing because he doesn't know. I guess he thought it was fun idea, way to be helpful, whatever it is. It's like he's got nothing redeeming about him. But society once upon a time just allowed him to be that way because it didn't ask him to be anything more than that. But now the world is a very different place. And I think on paper, you can read that and go, I can see how this could be interesting, but you can't start and just make him go from being man baby to like, okay, I have to change. I have to be like, you know, responsible adult now. It takes pretty much a season to get to a point where I think he really understands what's at play and what he needs to be doing here.
I think that's, yes, I understand like the personal responsibility of it all he can't grasp. I can understand that. I have an issue with how frustrating it was to watch him make dumb decisions about his own personal safety. It was that stuff that, and the safety of others that I was just like, for fuck's sake, like the world that we know has ended. Surely that would register in your brain to act a little differently when you're out on the street. Like it was so annoying. I understand that we need a place to grow, but it was those decisions that I was like, well, this guy's a fucking idiot and should die.
I just, on some level, the decision that kept annoying me was why they would let Ampersand out of his cage when there was an open window and open door all the time. It's like, I worry every time I let my cat outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not in a world-ending scenario here. Just get a leash. Close the fucking doors first. Get a leash, yeah.
Go to a pet store. Get a leash.
Dumb things like that can get very, very frustrating. And because when those events lead to him being, like, exposed, like, in episode 3, I think it is, where he's made it to the Pentagon, and then Kim's mum sees him, and it's just like, fuck, Yorick exposed himself very quickly here. Funnily enough, reading the comic book, he does it multiple times, sometimes on purpose in the comic book early on. You're like, you're a fucking moron, buddy. And he's slightly, at least it's a little more accidental, but still very irresponsible in the show. Yeah, he's useless. He's useless. Yeah. And that's why he gets teamed up with 355, who is obviously hyper capable to the point of being like almost just a sort of walking weapon who... Yeah, what did you make of 355 as a character?
I didn't really attach to her very easily, and I really wanted to because I'm like, I love a badass woman, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I was just so frustrated by everything that was happening in the show. It was also hard because so many of her scenes were just with Yorick.
Yes.
And they were the instances that I kind of described in my spoiler-free review where, like, people aren't listening to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just annoying for me to watch. But I think by the end of the season, we get to see some real softness there and, you know, some intrigue about her history and stuff. Though I don't actually really care about whatever fucking organization she...
The Culper Ring? This
shadow organization she works for. Like, I'm like, we've got enough going on. I don't actually need to worry about that right now. But yeah, I like the stuff that we got with her in the women's prison community. That was good. But yeah, for a lot of it, just her kind of barking orders, which I get, but just her dynamic with Yorick for a lot of it, I was just like, I'm not into this at all.
It's funny because I think that's the thing I actually appreciate about the show is that I understood that what the dynamic has to be with these two and that begins with. Mm-hmm. And it has to be that they do not have anything in common.
Yeah.
And they are going to have to learn from each other to survive if they're going to be a team. And I think they did a relatively good job of that over the course of the season. Mm. It can just be irritating getting there when you've got just like, this guy is pathetic and she has no other skills except to just tell people what to do and boss them around.
Yeah.
And while she always knows best and Yorick should listen to her at all times, she's still terrible at what she's doing. She's a constant liar. Constantly lying and not very good at it sometimes. There were elements, though, that they added to her character that I really enjoyed, that they made her a bit more interesting. When the two pilots came back after she found Yorick, which is not how it happens in the comic book, by the way, and then she takes them to that room and she's like, we have to do something with these two. And I was like, well, she's going to end up killing them. And then she did that bit where she gave them the medals. And I was like, oh, maybe 355 is more than just a weapon in this. Maybe she's got other skills. And then when that fucking helicopter blew up, I was like, okay, cool, I got it. She's very like a massive badass and will just do what she needs to do to get the job done. I loved that. I also don't remember, this did not happen in the comic books, this idea that she was sent to the Pentagon and that other Culper Ring agents were sent to key locations ahead of this event taking place did not happen in the comic books. The idea the Culper Ring knew it was going to happen, very, very, very different from what I remember anyway, which is very intriguing to me. I want to know what that's about this time around. I thought the performance of 355 was great. I really, really liked her as a character from Go to Woe. And by the end of the season, I think I was always anticipating when Dr. Man got included. Because for me, it's that trio. It's those three plus the Toto that is Ampersand. And that's sort of like, those three bring different elements which make that like, it can't be just the two of them. It doesn't work. You've got to have that third element.
Yeah,
and once Allison was there, the show started to feel like it could evolve into something much more enjoyable and entertaining along the way.
Yeah, it was certainly her introduction. Although at the very beginning, her introduction is, once again, I'm using this word a lot, but annoying. I'm like, oh, okay, I know who this character is. She's like kind of like wisecracking, obnoxious scientist yep. person. Got it. but then I really appreciate the perspective she brought in that episode where we first meet her about the complexity of sex.
Yes.
Which was like, yeah, good. Someone needs to say it. And like the sadness she feels about the loss of biodiversity and how much we actually lost in that. It's not just like, you know, the human world, because I hadn't really thought about it all that yeah. much, but it wasn't just the human world, but like the world is going to die because this has happened in so many different ways and so many different levels. So I really appreciated that. And then as we travel along and her and Yorick are able to speak to one another in a more kind of natural and connected way. Like for instance, you know, when they decide to leave 355, for good reason, they've got suspicions and she hasn't made any moves to try to connect with them or win them over to what she wants to do. So I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's good. Yeah, so I think she was a really important part of it. And she's also that dynamic of three is a huge part of why I would like to see a season two.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Mm. Did you ship any of – because there was these like – Dr. Mann kept saying, oh, I can see Yorick likes 355 and 355 likes Yorick. And then there was a bit of like chemistry sort of between Dr. Mann and 355 as well. Did any of that work for you? Did you care about
that? Practically immediately, I was like, Allison and 355 are going to fuck. Like, I was just like, all right, there's something here. Particularly when she was being like, oh, you guys, like Mann was saying, oh, you guys like each other. I was like, that's not what's going on here, my friend. Yeah, I don't know. The writing was on the wall. But to be fair, every time there's two women in a scene together and their characters aren't related, I'm like, you're about to fuck. Like,
well, that would be happening kind of a lot through this show.
That's right. Every scene constant. I was like, here we go. Maybe that's why I was so disappointed with the show. Who knows?
Just constant blue-balling. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too many spoilers to the comic book. Obviously, it's a long way to go. We're only like 10 issues in at this point of the story that goes on for 60 issues or whatever it is. Mm. But... Yes, the 355 Yorick, you know, something going on there with the relationship is a part of the original story. Mm. I don't remember Dr. Mann and 355 being a thing though, but I kind of hope they go there in the show because I'm already more invested in that.
Yeah, it makes way more sense.
Way more sense. And maybe later on the storyline, I can see where the Yorick-355 thing might happen. But right now, no. Just does not make any sense whatsoever.
I like that we got Yorick to kind of have an emotional connection. And even like in a casual way with that woman from the women's Sonya. Prisons community. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's ripped straight out of the comic book.
Yeah,
all that stuff in I think it's Mainsville, Idaho, whatever the town is with the prisoners. That relationship he draws, it is much better established in the show as well, having just reread it. And it only is over a couple, like two or three issues basically. But I really like, actually one of the things that's different in the comic book rereading it was that when they keep it a secret for a long time that they're prisoners. They don't know that. And then when Yorick finds out, he goes ballistic, like, they're criminals. And it's like, this version is way, way more interesting and way more believable. I don't think that would necessarily be the reaction you would have, the one that was in the comic books. And this one was I think, better handled generally.
Yeah.
As is a lot of the stuff is just better handled. I think because they've got a bit more space and time to dive into it, but I really like that sort of stuff. Yeah, that stuff was good. And that breakdown he has at the end when they're crying in the silo. I was like, cool, we got Yorick to an emotional place so we can move forward into new territory now.
Yeah, that was important to get there.
Really important. What about the stuff at the Pentagon with Jennifer, Yorick's mum, who is now the president of the United States? Another big departure from the books. Mm. She is still in politics, but she's not the president in the comic. And that to me is one of the, like, I understand that choice to change that because it puts her in a much more important place and makes what's happening to her a lot more important. But it's also ridiculously coincidental that the president's son is the one that survived.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like wild.
Yeah. Nuts. Yeah. I wasn't that invested in the political nature or the logistics stuff that was happening there. I just didn't quite understand what was how the world was functioning, or like what they were actually capable of doing from that position of the Pentagon. Like how many resources did we have? What has happened is so big that I would prefer our stories to be small and emotional rather than that big, I think. So I really struggled to connect with it. And I think, which is why I really appreciated Kimberly's side of it, because I was like, oh, I know this character. You know, she's a woman who, you know, lost her children, her husband, and her purpose as what she thinks is a woman's purpose, which is to be a wife and mother. So I appreciated that more than kind of the biggest stuff that we were getting with Diane Lane's character.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think where they get to at the end of the season shows that even the show knows that.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that.
Yes, me too. Where they ended up with Diane and Sam and Beth. Sam, also a new character, does not exist in the comic books.
Mm.
No real trans characters of any note really make it into the comic book series whatsoever from memory. Certainly not a lead early on. Beth is vastly absent from the entire show, in the entire comic book. In the comic book, she's in Australia when Yorick proposes. They're literally talking on the phone at the start. So having her, when she left just before the event happened, I was like, she's still in fucking New York. Like, Beth is close by. This is really different. And then to have her show up again at the end of the season, like, as a fan of the book, I was just like, blows my mind that Beth is going to be involved. And that little twist where she was, like, part of the group that was taking down the government, I was like, did not see this coming from a million miles away. But then pairing her up with Jennifer at the end of the season, I thought was, like, very cool. And Sam as well. I'm like, going forward, this is the thing more than anything, I want to see where they're going with this, because it's a completely new element of the show. Mm. And the idea of her chasing down Yorick as well is
I'm excited for that. Yeah.
In terms of the stuff that's happened in the Pentagon, I don't know. I kind of appreciate that it didn't just all collapse completely. I think it was interesting seeing them trying to keep that government structure going, how difficult that would be, that biases and ideologies still exist, that'd be a lot of conspiracy theories. If anything we've learned in the last 2 years is conspiracy theories run wild in a crisis. And I enjoyed that stuff for the most part. I also like that by the end of the season we're like, and it's gone. And I think if the show is going to continue forward, a lot of it is actually not just going to be about like what's a world without Y chromosomes. It's going to be, what does it look like when you actually do pull down the system completely?
Yeah.
And what are the other options to go forward from there? What do you replace it with? Do you try to rebuild it? And like, I want to know. I think the show is capable of asking that question, and I would like to see it try.
Interested when we see moments with Beth and this new group that she's joined. And it makes total sense to me. They're like, why are they? I mean, you understand why, but they're like, well, why are you holding onto this thing that doesn't really exist anymore and like hasn't actually been working for the majority of people within that system? So yeah, now is the actual opportunity to pull it apart and build something new that is hopefully a little fairer for people. Yeah, interesting.
Kim, I really liked, because I think it'd be very easy to just make all Republicans. I think the show obviously has a political leaning, right? And so it'd make all Republicans just be unreasonable and monsters. But Kim is a very sympathetic character. You understand her perspective in this situation.
She's still a dickhead, but you get why she is a dickhead. Absolutely. Yeah, and I also appreciated that she has valid reasons to be really suspicious of this woman who is claiming to be president. She is lying, and she has done a lot of stuff that she should not have been doing. So I'm glad they gave validity to her concerns. Not always, it wasn't always valid, but there really was, a through line of, this woman who is holding the highest office has, been helping herself out a little bit and not being honest with the people she claims to be looking after.
Do you think Jennifer should have or could have done something differently around the whole Yorick of it all?
I think she definitely should have told her closest advisors, like a lot of the women that were in that room that she clearly trusted. It was probably going to get out that he was alive, but I can't see why she couldn't have spoken to them got some advice and then flown out Yorick or whatever. Yes. Like, yeah. I think she made it more complicated than it needed to be and more dangerous for herself. Yeah.
What I also liked was she's not a natural liar, I don't think. And so while she's, I think logistically is the right person to have been president at that time, she was for the most part getting the job done in like the way you would want someone in that role to do.
Mm-hmm.
When accusations started flying at her, she always played it too aggressive. It's like so often she played too aggressive. It's like, you just look like you're hiding something now. You need to find a way to be more bemused or even lean into the questioning a little bit more rather than trying to continuously just like say this is rubbish. It's like every time you do that, you look like you're trying to distract from what is actually going on. What about the Amazons? Hero and Sam's storyline, Roxanne, who is the head of the Amazons, and then Nora, who we were introduced to in the first episode. And then by the end of it is revealed to be Victoria, which is a little twist, kind of, for people who know the comic books. Victoria is a character. There is this red-headed woman who's sort of ahead of the Amazons. She's dead. She's dead by the end of the first ten issues. So that was kind of a reveal. What did you make of the Amazons in general and specifically Hero and Sam and their storyline?
A lot of them seem like fucking losers to me. Like, just like, they're just shitheads. Like, they're just fucking shitheads. And I found that, like, oh, I don't want to hang out with these people. And obviously Roxanne is so over the top. I was like, what is going on right now? It's also hard when I hate the role that's given to children in post-apocalyptic shows, because they're always like whining and screaming and making you stay somewhere that is unsafe or getting injured in the most annoying
liabilities.
Way. They are liability, and I hate that. So when we first started hanging out with Victoria and her kid, I was like, no, please, I don't want to do this. But where we go with that character is really cool, actually. So I really appreciated that, and her as this kind of new leader, or like her political savvy being really important in terms of like staying with Roxanne, working that out, kind of giving her like speeches and talking points to kind of rally the women. I really enjoyed that. So where we got with it is cool. I also love that we watch them get their asses kicked. In the community where Yorick is staying. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You don't mess with these women who, like, you know, probably know what they're doing with a gun. And it's also their home territory, so they've got places to hide and you guys are going to come in on horses, you idiots. I like that. It's like pretty much with every story. I like where we end up.
Yeah.
I don't know if I enjoyed the journey all that much, except for maybe the last few episodes, yeah.
So, again, if I'm to talk about the comic for a second, the Amazons are a thing early on, and Hero is certainly one of them. We get very little explanation of how they come to be or how Hero even comes to be them, at least early on. I don't remember if we find out later on in the comic book series that sort of backstory. But I did... I for the most part, liked what it was doing. I agree with you because I think them kind of being a bit pathetic in their current form is kind of true. And in the comic book, I think they're, I don't know, it's funny. I don't know whether we're leaning to them kind of being sort of dorky and shit or not. Victoria, who saw the leader of the Amazons, seems quite capable until she gets an axe to the head and dies. She kind of seems, she is Nora in this show, right? But then she just gets taken out quickly. This version where we've got Roxanne, who's not a character in the comic book at all, as far as I'm aware, who I can see... where all some of these women are just lost, right, in this world. And when someone comes along and says, follow me.
Very alluring.
That is very alluring. And they obviously have resources and safety that when you don't know or you can't explain what's happened to you, you cling to something that seems solid. And Roxanne seems solid enough that was working. I kind of bought that. I bought this dorky, crappy version of the Amazons who really weren't nearly as powerful as they thought they were. I feel like in the comic books, the name of the Amazons is sort of spoken like, oh yeah, they're a big deal, you don't want to mess with them. And this, it's more like people don't even really know they exist. Yeah. They kind of just show up, wreck a bunch of shit, and then leave.
Yeah.
And then getting to the point where we've got like Hiro and Nora, Victoria now, and the Amazons are going to maybe stick around and be a bigger deal. Mm. I really liked where they got to with that. And like, was built off this massive lie from this complete fraud, this cult of personality. But maybe there is something to this which could be more fun to explore if we take it beyond just the let's be Amazon. Because in the comic books, all the Amazons do remove a breast, all of them. This thing Roxanne having just had hers done from a mastectomy was a much, I think, smarter way of doing it. Mm. But being able to like, let's actually take this to a place that's a bit more thought through going forward. Oh, I'm really desperate to see where they would have done with it because I think there's a lot of potential there as well.
Mm. I will say, like, there were moments, perhaps this, like, the journey of the Amazons is meant to be a bit funny.
I think so.
Yeah, I just kept thinking, like, one, they're, like, ceremonies that they've invented for themselves. Yeah. I was like, fucking hell. And I do like Sam's perspective being like, this is crazy. Like, what is going on right now? And Hiro just kind of being enamored by it. But I was definitely on Sam's side, as I think we're certainly meant to be at that point. He's the only, like, one who's thinking clearly. But I just, you know, there were moments that it did make me laugh, though I wasn't sure if I was laughing at the show or with the show. There were things like, they're wasting so much water just bathing.
Yes.
Like, Hiro is just seeing this giant vat of water. It's like there's like tanks of water all around her that they're just washing their dirty skin into. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, where are we getting this water from? And why are we so happy to just like, I don't know, just rub it around nipples for a couple of hours? Like, it's just, it was bizarre to me. Like, the choices they were making seemed so stupid and they took themselves so seriously. But I guess maybe that's the point.
I think it is. Yeah. I think Nora is the character who constantly points out that, like, this stuff can't last. Mm. Like, this won't go on forever. You'll eventually run out of stuff and then what are you going to do? Like,
They're so wasteful, like, as we see when they raid that museum of men or whatever.
They get drunk the night before, fucked up the night before every time they go. And then, when they had a real fight with people who were actually organized and these ex-cons.
It collapsed.
Like, they had nothing, and they realized, and you found out they were complete frauds. I think that was meant to be the case. And if you look at the Roxanne, origin storyline of how she went from being working in what is essentially a Costco.
They're playing dress up, all of them.
Exactly, right. I think that is 100% what it's meant to be. But I guess it has to play it with a relatively straight bat to begin with. It's like, and so if you do take it on face value, you might just look and go, well, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Rather than understanding that it is meant to be a bit silly. What did you think of Hiro as a character? Do you feel for her much? Does she just feel like a horrible person?
I mean, like, it's a similar thing with Yorick, right? Like, I totally understand that she has history with her mom and it's really complicated. And that history, I think, is a big part of her, like, addiction issues and just a lot that she doesn't want to revisit. I get that. I'm sorry. The world has fucking ended. Go and see your mom who lives at the Pentagon. Like, what are we I was just fully on board with Sam. I'm like, what are we doing here? Why are we wasting our time? She's an idiot. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, because I want you to continue with your Hiro rant, the moment where we see when Jennifer told her she was all those horrible things, whatever it was, and cruel at the end of that dinner. And then we didn't actually hear it. We just saw her whispering to her. I was like, that was actually quite powerful, actually. And just getting to see Hiro feel that whisper in her ear from Jennifer.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I thought
that was really effective. And I get it. But, which is a big but, you are in, like, not even the Wild Wild West. It's worse than that, yeah? So let's take it seriously and let's go where we need to go.
Can I give you the other element, though, that's completely new that does help to get me some more of the way with Hiro and how she ends up where she does is the bit where she killed the guy that she was sleeping with in the very first episode.
Mm-hmm.
In that did not happen in the comic books. Yeah. He dies basically in her arms, but just from the same thing that every other Y chromosome mammal is dying of. And so that thing where she's killed this guy and completely was going to get away with it because no one can ever know that she did that.
Perfect crime. I wouldn't be sad about it. I'd be like, well, I did that. Whoopsie. Yep.
But it's obviously this big, heavy secret she's carrying around. Mm-hmm. And though Roxanne is complete fraud, she is able to sort of say the things that Hero Kit needs to hear to finally move on and maybe even embrace that, weaponize that a little bit.
Yeah. I did also love this bonding moment between, what's her name, Nora and Hero, being like, don't trust Roxanne with your secrets. Like, she's not worthy of them, but I am. I was like, ooh, that's a good use of that. Like, I really, immediately, because you're like, yeah, Roxanne's, us as the audience know that Roxanne's a loser.
Yeah.
We don't know all the secrets, certainly, but we know that she's a dickhead. But we also know Nora is really capable. So you're like, oh, okay, these two powerful women kind of coming together. Like, I like that.
What about Sam then? Sam is a completely original character. I think fantastic that we have a trans man in this storyline. Mm-hmm. I think just acknowledging that trans men exist is just A, good, but B, actually adds an extra layer of complexity to the storyline in general. If you just want to go on a completely practical sense of point of view, it actually gives Yorick some cover, which is interesting. Not everyone's just going to assume that he is a genetically, you know, Y chromosome carrying male. Every time they see him, they're going to think, oh, this guy's, this is a trans man. And that's interesting in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Sam's following or going with Hero and then meeting the Amazons and then trying to live alongside these, for lack of a better term, man-hating women.
Yeah.
Like that is their sort of their text, right? Is that men are were the worst thing that ever happened to us and they all deserve to be dead.
That's what made me hate Hero so much. Oh, yeah. I was like, clearly Sam can't exist here. He's a man. Like, what do you think's gonna happen? He's never gonna feel safe. He's never gonna be accepted by these people. Like, what are you doing? And this is someone that had the opportunity to leave, go somewhere with his community, and he decided to stay with you.
Yeah.
And then to do this to him is so unforgivable. It made me really dislike Hero for many episodes.
I'm also really happy. I think a lesser show would have killed Sam. I think they would have had Roxanne kill Sam or some of the girls kill Sam.
Oh, you can't
Sam.
Do that.
No, you can't and you shouldn't, I think a lesser show would have.
That's true. Maybe if this was made 10 years ago, I don't think they would have had a trans character or they would have killed him.
If it was made by a cis man, I think that might have been a decision they decided to make as well.
Yeah.
Having Sam be able to leave and then meet up with Jennifer and Beth for what would be their own series of adventures for characters that never got adventures in the comic book.
Mm.
Fuck yeah. I wanted to see where that went.
Yeah, totally.
Also, I love the inclusion of Sam. I thought he was a great character.
Mm-hmm. I wanted him to stay with Mrs. Blackwell. I want to know who that woman is. The teacher, he's playing the piano in the school.
Oh, yeah, forgot
about
that.
And she comes in and it's just a moment of reprieve and kindness. And she's just so stay as long as you want. Like, keep playing. It's nice. And I was like, I want to hang out with her and to have her be kind to Sam and love Sam and him to be in a safe place. I was like, I want more of this. I mean, I do like where we go with him because that's exciting. But I was like, oh, are we going to stay here? Like, what's Mrs. Blackwell's story? Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that moment, actually. Mm. And it is, now looking back on it, is just that moment. It was the show's way of saying, Sam's okay. Sam's
which
okay
I needed.
Right now.
I did
don't,
need that.
You don't have to worry about him right now. He's okay. Mm-hmm. And then I actually, when he finally showed up again, I was like, oh, cool, Sam's back.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've got much more to say, if I'm being really honest. The show, again, it's possibly because I have a feeling of where things are going. Do you have any sense of the overall mysteries? Do you care? Do you have any theories about what's happening?
Like I said, I don't care about this shadow organization. I really don't. Corporate. There's so many bigger things to worry about.
Yep.
I mean, I'm generally curious as to what could have caused this to transpire. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm not super invested in the big picture stuff. I'm interested in the emotional journeys of people within these circumstances. Yeah.
The comic deliberately sort of gives you a couple of potential. Early on, it goes, maybe it was this, maybe it was this, maybe it was this. And they haven't really done that this time around. They haven't given you... They've maybe given you tiny clues to things that you should start thinking about a little bit. There are whole characters that haven't been introduced yet, that but maybe a kind of might like name dropped or suggested.
Mm-hmm.
There were little tidbits here and there, but they aren't giving you these direct like this was the thing or was it this was the thing or was it this was the thing, but ultimately the comic book gives you a solution, but maybe never fully says it was definitely that. I think even the comic book realized that maybe what caused it is not what's actually interesting about this storyline.
Yeah.
And the fact that the show got you to a point where you at least cared enough about the characters to want a season two, I'm going to say is a relative success.
Any last words?
Final thoughts.
That's why you always leave a note.
Do you have any side notes to mask?
Yes, I certainly do. I hate the opening titles.
I was one of my things. I was going to ask. I bet you Damask hates the opening titles.
Oh, just more proof that it should have come out 10 years ago. But like so many shows do this. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that I hate these types of opening titles. They've existed since like House, which came out a billion years ago. And yet people still do the same fucking opening titles for every show, which like the deconstruction of something to like a moody song. Kill me now. Like, just do something new, please.
Do you know what actually reminded me of? It reminded me of the Miss America. Was it called Mrs. America or Miss America, the show we reviewed last season?
Yeah.
Yep. It was kind of that, but if you took all the color out of it. It was like political imagery, you know, this time mixed with a little bit of science because it's like Y chromosomes and embryo splitting and stuff like that, but just completely desaturated.
Yep. Thanks. I hate it. Exactly. Yep. I've already mentioned Miss Blackwell. I wanted more of her, but that's all right. I'm hoping the reveal at the end of, you know, when this show eventually gets six seasons and a movie, that it will be revealed that Miss Blackwell was behind the whole thing. Can't wait for that reveal.
She played the Y chromosome version of the brown note.
Exactly.
And just like instantly.
Yeah.
I like that.
She was just a teacher that was having a hard day and she cracked one day and decided to kill half population. Yeah. I really didn't like, this is when Yorick 355 and Allison,
Dr. Man,
when
that name too. I know it's from the comics, but like,
yeah,
like I've never seen anything more on the nose than like, fucking hell, guys.
When they're traveling and they walk into this kind of like Moonlight Lilith Fair event where people like walking in a circle with candles. Do you remember this?
I
thought it was so weird and came out of nowhere. I didn't understand what had happened. I was like, did I skip an episode? Like, what did we do? Like, I was so confused by it. It's another example of like these kind of ritual things that are happening that I didn't understand. Is there an explanation for this?
It was essentially, it's just part of like how women are choosing to mourn the men that they've lost. It's kind of an extrapolation of a scene that happens in the comic books that I only just read again this afternoon. Yorick and 355 are leaving Washington and they hear music and Yorick's like, where's that coming from? It's like, oh, that'll be women who are like mourning men at this memorial. And he was like, which memorial are we talking about? It's like, which one do you think? And it's the Washington Memorial. And it's like, which is very funny because obviously it's extremely phallic.
Yeah.
And then they go there and all these women are there and Yorick has this conversation wearing his mask and stuff. But he calls himself Beth and is pretending to be a woman. And he asks who she's mourning for and she says Mick Jagger. And they have this conversation about all these artists that died all at once, which is kind of what I think in the show they talk about Weird Al. But they talk about Mick Jagger and Bowie, who was still alive at the time of the writing of the comic books, and like all these artists they lost. And this was sort of their version of that with the Radiohead and stuff, is basically what they were doing. Right. Similar to like how we saw, and instead what they also did in the comic book, this is the first interaction with the Amazons. They come and they try to tear the place apart and like, you know, this is a, you're holding a memorial to the old world that we need to destroy. And then in this version, we had that thing where you can hear the men's voices.
Yeah.
And that was the same scene, but done at a different time. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thought it was weird, didn't like it. also, just like a question. So when the general decides to turn on President Diane Lane, because of what happened with the pilots, like at that point it's only like speculation and rumor, right? There's no proof. So to make the decision...
I think they had two eyewitness accounts.
From who?
Well, one was one of her soldiers who saw Yorick and the monkey.
When did that happen?
When they were in the when they were in that church and Dr. Man and and then she came back and she was like, I saw a man. That was when Jennifer was playing it way too aggressive and was like don't even want to know what sort of animal it was. It's trying to like end the conversation. It's like a monkey. It was like, hold on a second.
I actually thought she played that scene quite well. She's like, well, this is insane. Like, that's an insane thing.
No,
to
it was
say
too aggressive.
Me.
I would have leant into going, a monkey, like, that's bizarre. Like, what could that... And, like, you can almost direct people off course.
Yeah.
Not by saying that... Because if you feed into it, then have someone else say, well, this is absurd. And then you can start to agree. At that point, you should have intellectual curiosity.
That's
and
true.
Then later on, you want to have someone else be the one to convince you and everybody else that what you're hearing is crazy. Mm-hmm. When she's doing it at that point, she's putting the spotlight herself, I think. It was too aggressive.
Yeah. So we had the
pilot. Then we had... The mum. And then we knew there were two dead pilots. There was no explanation for that. We knew that Agent 355 was working for the president. So there was a lot of stuff going on, I guess, at that point.
It's still a big move to make.
It's a big push. It's a big push. But also the general or whoever didn't actually turn until Jennifer admitted to it as well.
I don't think that's true.
They got her in to have that conversation, but yeah, I don't think she'd fully turned at that point. But she was definitely standing up for her soldiers. Like, it's important for her that, you know, two of her pilots and two helicopters were lost because of something's being kept from us here, and that was not.
Yeah.
Her responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just saying, that's a bold move to make with
sure.
Yeah, a lot of circumstantial evidence to then, I guess, choose who you think should be president.
A different president.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, well, okay.
Military coups and all that. It happens.
This is true. This is true.
Any other side notes?
No, I think that was it for me.
Tell you what, my side note is Sonya got very unlucky. In the comic book, Sonya, the girl at that Yorick hooked up with, right?
Yeah.
In the comics, Hero shoots her dead. I think with an arrow to the heart, actually. And it's a very different interaction between Hero and Yorick in that part. Hero was not going to let her go and let him go at first. Anyway, she gets very unlucky. She gets shot in the head from someone firing a pistol off the back of a horse at quite a distance. That is either the best shot I've ever seen, or boy, did she get real unlucky to get like a deadly wound from that. Anyway, the show ended where I thought it would, right, in terms of chronologically where it would be. They missed out at the very end of that last comic. There's this little hook they give you. That leads into the next story that I thought for sure was going to be how they're going to finish the season off. And in fact, I almost feel like I should have waited and watched if there was anything at the end credits. But maybe they would have done something. They took it out once they realized they weren't coming back. Mm. Are you willing to have spoilers? It's not spoilers for the story as a whole. It's spoilers for like a storyline that may come into play.
I think you should tell me off the air.
Okay.
Because I do, but I don't think that's fair to everyone.
Okay, fair enough. I'll tell you off the air. But yeah, there was a big hook I was like expected to happen, and they didn't do it. And I wonder whether it was taken out the last minute or whether they never intended to. Anyway, least favorite and favorite episodes. What was your least favorite episode, Damask?
I mean, it's got to be episode two, because I was like, correct. I figured the pilot was bad. I was like, but so often pilots are. So I was like, whatever. And then I watched episode two and I was like, oh, this show is actually shit. And then like you did as well, I think we all just at that point walked away and was like, yeah. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. So episode two has got to be my least favorite.
I 100% agree with you. It's the episode where I dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason there were three episodes released at once. It's because they want people to get to episode three, which I think it by the end of episode three, which is where 355 and Yorick get away in the helicopter and the helicopter explodes. I was like, oh, okay. Didn't see that coming. And now I'm far more interested. By the time I got to that point, I had enough hook that I was looking forward to episode four. But episode two, yeah, boy. Even though we get to the point with Yorick getting back with Jennifer, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I was really unimpressed with that episode. I got to agree. What was your favorite episode?
Yeah, I think it's going to be episode nine. We've got like the women's... Oh, we're matching, are we?
Same as me.
We've got like the women's prison stuff and everything that was happening there. I was like, oh, I think I'm actually enjoying this show now, which was a huge shock for me. Yeah, I was starting to feel like I was getting... I had the opportunity to get to know the characters better. I was like, thank God. You know, things were starting to really move at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so maybe things are going to change here and I'm not going to have to be so bored when these scenes start. So, yeah, things were really moving. I was excited to, like, be able to sit down with Yorick and co, but things were moving with Diane Lane and co. So, yeah, both good things.
I 100% agree. I was enjoying the stuff that was happening with our lead trio. Mm-hmm. The stuff of the Pentagon was escalating in a big, big way.
Mm-hmm.
And even the stuff with the Amazons was at least leading to you knew that by the next episode, we're probably going to have Hero and Yorick meet up.
Yeah.
And so, like, there was a lot to look forward to. I think it was an excellent... And this happens a lot. I think there's a trend where I either find the first episode or the second last episode to be the best one, because they tend to be, like, bring everything to a head and leading into that sort of finale. But this is another example of that. I think episode nine, Peppers, was the best episode of the season. Predictions, hopes, or concerns if, by some miracle, we get a second season of Why the Last Man? Massive if.
I mean, I have great hopes for where season two can go, because we don't have so much of that heavy lifting that this season had to do, I think, to kind of... There's so many characters when you think about it, like so many characters, and there's so much like world building stuff and complicated backstory and all that. Like this season had to do a lot. But yeah, I'm hoping that now with like the Pentagon gone, we're going to get some more interesting stuff with Diane Lane's character. I'm also excited about like the character of Kimberly is now somewhat stranded with that pregnant woman. I hope she doesn't lose her mind and try to cut that baby out of that woman's stomach. I'm real worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Yorick and 355 and Allison are on the move. And that's exciting to me. So my hope is it does come back and that season two will be a smoother season and more enjoyable throughout.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. It's like this season had to set us up to care enough to look at a season two, and it got there. And it does have a lot of barriers in the way, particularly because, as you said, a lot of these characters start off in a place where you don't give a shit about them. Why would you? And I think for me, the thing I was always looking most forward to was the idea of seeing 355 Yorick and Dr. Man on the road. Like, it's most of the comic book from memory, again, is a road trip comic, and they have these little serialized adventures along the way. This is why I always thought it should have been a television show, and it's about them and their personalities and new situation, and like that's the show for me. And so we got to that point and I want to see what happens next there. The stuff with Beth and Jennifer and Sam, because it is so new, really fascinates me, because I think it's a whole new wrinkle that could be great. I think getting to the point where we've got Victoria and Hero in charge of the Amazons and what that could evolve into. I could see a version of this where it's no longer the ragtag group. They actually build up a real force and network in a much bigger way that makes them a credible threat. And what that looks like is one of those systems that might come in to replace the old one. Yeah, I think the show was probably just about, was telling us that it was looking forward to exploring what happens once you've pulled down that old system and what something different might look like. I'm trying to think of more shows that have done that. so often it's just about survival. Like the thing that does separate Why the Last Man apart from, say, The Walking Dead is in The Walking Dead, you feel like 99% of the population is dead, not 50. And they have to rebuild in a still large scale way. It's more about how can we just build a community that's going to survive, which is different. And I would like to see where that goes. I don't know who's going to pick it up. I'm trying to think, where's it going to go? Who's a logical contender? I don't think it's going to be Netflix. They're not interested in that sort of stuff anymore. I don't think it's saving
Disney's
shows.
Because the parent company or whatever that produced it. Yeah, so maybe. I don't fucking know. I've got no idea who's willing to spend money these days.
Are you ready to champion it? Like, if the petition comes around, it says, like, we need signatures. Are you going to be there to put your name on it? Do you care that much? I mean, I am.
Not really. I mean, I'll do it for much. You. I'll do it for you, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
I'll sign. But that. I'm not actually that, yeah.
I don't think there's any promises it's going to be the best show ever, but I'm. It's weird because I'm like, I'm content the show wasn't awful, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something here that is worth seeing more of. Which is both satisfying and heartbreaking now that we're where we are. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Hunting Seasons. You can find more of what we do via our website, huntingseasonspodcast.com. Our logo comes from Sean Kirkpatrick, aka at Shawnee Boy Draws, and our theme song and bumpers from Lucas Heil of Birthday Loyalty Club. Find links to their work in our show notes. You can also find myself, Broderick Gordes, on Twitter at bgordes, B-G-O-R-D-E-S, Damask.
You can find me on Twitter at Maskymoo, MaskyMoo.
Next episode, we'll be back to discuss Arcane League of Legends Season 1.
I'm so excited. I've really been championing this show. Like, it just randomly popped up in my Netflix kind of preview thing. I was like, oh, this looks like a cool kind of fantasy situation, animated series. Sure, I'll have a click, see what comes up. And it was only when the first three episodes were out and I was mesmerized. At first I was like, oh, this is a cool show. I like the animation. It's an interesting world they've created here. So I watched episode one. I was like, sweet. Episode two, I was like, oh, this keeps getting better. And then by the end of episode three, I was like, I fucking love this show. Like, I'm so excited to watch this show. Three more episodes came out yesterday. I smashed them in one sitting. Really enjoying myself. It's fucking interesting and it's exciting. It's really, really exciting. Yeah. Watch it.
This was not in our schedule. Like, often we know well in advance sort of what we're going to be watching. We know what we're watching for the rest of the year, basically. We even have some idea of what we're probably watching when we return after a bit of a break next year.
Mm-hmm.
We had this one little slot, didn't feel like watching American Crime Story season 3. And this little gem appears out of nowhere. That's exciting just because it's something a little bit different.
Yeah, that's why I'm mostly excited about it because it's really different and it's unlike something I've ever seen before. But it's certainly within like the genres and the story tropes and stuff, I suppose, of kind of the story that I really love. Like, we play D&D and I love that. I love fantasy. I love playing within that kind of space. So to see a show kind of bring that to life in a lot of ways, it's fucking cool and I've really enjoyed myself.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably start watching that tonight. You should too. Catch up in time for our review next week. In the meantime, thank you again for listening. We will see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Absolutely.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.